Today we'll be in Philippians 2:1. You've made it to chapter 2. Feel like we should have a cupcake party or something. This sermon is titled Oneness in Christ. Before we get started, let's take a moment of silent prayer to get in fellowship. For us, that means confession of sin so we can get back in that harmony, right relationship, filling of the Holy Spirit so we can learn and grow and metabolize the Word as God sees fit, and then we can apply it to our lives. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We're very much thankful for having the opportunity to be here tonight, to continue on in your plan, to continue to get to know you as our God and as a God who gives us everything we need and more. We ask tonight that we can have clarity of your word so we can better understand it and therefore think with it and glorify you through that. We thank you for everything. And all your blessings in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so Philippians 2:1. And, you know, as I'm going through this, I've realized that this is not a very fast process. And that's okay. There's different ways to teach. And I really would like to get to a 2 to 3 verses. But I just can't seem to do it just yet. I can't get through the details quick enough, but maybe eventually there will be a time where I can merge those two techniques together and we can get the best of both worlds. I know with one you get, I feel like we can cover everything thoroughly, and with another one you get through more of the Bible. If we can get those together, I think we'd be good to go, but we'll keep going. And we'll learn as we go, and we'll change as the Lord sees fit to change. So waiting on His lead on that one. So before we get started, let me read starting from verse 28. It says, verse 28 says, "In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and this from God. Because to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear in me." So you remember these verses is when we really got into suffering more so than before. And the benefits of suffering, and we saw how there's really a different way to think about it, which is a blessing, because that's something we experience every day of our lives. So if we have a better way to think about that, I'm all for it, and we do, because the reality of it is that it's really to our benefit, and it's designed to teach and call us to the right direction, which is always back into the plan of God, towards God, in fellowship, and to that direction. So it's a catalyst, or you could call it maybe a cow prong, just kind of gets you to refocus, pay attention of where you're at in your life. And then suffering always does that to you. Now, whether you go in that direction is a different story, but as believers in Jesus Christ, that's our main option. That should be your main option right there, is to go back to that direction. So chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by thinking the same thing, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, of one understanding. So you can really see how we're starting to get into that oneness aspect that we've been kind of leading up to this point. And really chapter 2, we start to see what that kind of thinking, that mind of Christ looks like. And we're only going to, it's going to continue to develop that. But this is the start of it right here. So you can see it starts off with a conjunction. And this is telling us that there's a continuation of thought coming from verses 27 through 30. It says, therefore, and then a series of ifs. You see the ifs. If. And what this is that these are all part of a first-class condition. And I don't know if you can remember Roy rattling that off, but a first-class condition, if and it's true. Second class, if and it's not true. Third class, if and it may be true, maybe not true. And then a fourth class, if and I wish it were true. This is a first class. And the thought behind the first class is if and it's true. So the assumption here is that these are all true. Paul is more saying this, is calling these things out. He knows they're a reality for the Philippians because they're growing. They're growing just like you are. So this tells me not only is it a reality in their lives, but it should be a reality in our lives as well, because the spiritual life is the spiritual life, at least in this book, the way we talk about it from the church age perspective. So if, and we'll get into the, so these are the statement clauses. There's four of them. Usually there's only if, and there's usually a then, and that's all you have. But here we have four ifs. So it's a little bit different than your normal if then, right? Just one if and then one answer. But so let's look at this. The first one says, if any encouragement in Christ. That's assumed to be true, remember? So this word for encouragement, that's just a good word. I just love hearing that word. I don't know what it is. But when you can provide it or when you can get it, it's always a good thing. And this word here is, the Greek word is paraklesis. And if you can hear that, it kind of sounds like parakletos or paraclete or those words that have something to do with coming alongside. And the parakletos really refers to, remember, the Holy Spirit or the helper. So we can hear that paraklesis. We can hear that coming alongside in the word, the para. And we also have the verbal form, but that's not here. So the word means encouragement or exhortation, and it's referring to a speech or discourse that encourages. Something that encourages or earnestly advises. And isn't that just what we find in the Word? I mean, when you think about the Word of God, we do find encouragement. It's where we find really our hope and encouragement for life in general, is the way I kind of look at this. Because any other encouragement is simply temporary. So we find our lasting encouragement from the Word of God. And the Word is where we also find confidence. Confidence in life, confidence in your current situation, whatever you're dealing with. And this is where he's coming right off of talking about suffering. And now he's talking about encouragement. So there's not too much of a change here, because we saw what suffering meant. And through that suffering, now we're encouraged. Because that was an encouragement to me to know that suffering is tremendously more important than we could ever imagine if we don't understand it from the Word of God, what it is. So that's part of that encouragement that we're seeing. And the reason why that's so important is because it says in Christ. Notice that's not based on us, but on Christ. So the encouragement is in Christ. He starts off with in Christ. And if you remember, well, I'm getting to that. But if you remember, I did a series on In Christ. So when we think of encouragement and the things that we have singly just in Christ himself, there's so much there to be encouraged about that it, and I'm not going to go through all that again, but I don't remember how many lessons that took us, but I think there was 8 or 9 occurrences of that word in Ephesians, and it was all very encouraging. So, and because of that encouragement that we find from the word, what does it do? It motivates us. It motivates us to keep going in life, to keep growing spiritually, and keep following God's word on a consistent basis. That's the motivation that we receive from God's word. We're not motivating ourselves. We're not waking up and saying, all right, I'm ready to go. I had a good breakfast. And no, it's the word of God. It's God. That's the reason you have that encouragement, because he is encouraging you. He's coming alongside you and he's teaching. He's guiding you. He's showing you through suffering, all these things that we've been talking about. So the word encouragement is to inspire with hope, courage, or confidence, to give support to foster or promote development. Now, in a nutshell, that is what the word does. Doesn't it promote development, to grow as a Christian, to live life? Courage, it gives you confidence, it supports you, it inspires you. I mean, all those words are straight from God himself, because that's where we find our motivation, is through him and his word. So, and not only that, we know that the scripture tells us about itself, and it says all scripture is profitable. And that word alone means useful, beneficial, or purposeful. So we can't go wrong here when we talk about encouragement in the word of God. And one of the things about this is Christians are motivated and encouraged because of the what? Well, one of the reasons is because of the endless benefits that we have. You know, you keep thinking in your mind, this has got to stop. This has got to just, you know, there's only so much of this that we can do. God's just going to say, okay, you've grown this far, you've matured, and that's it. That's as much as you're going to enjoy. This side of heaven, there is no stop to it. God has provided us with enough information to where our human limitations can grow until we die. And that's an encouragement to know that, because we can get comfortable, but there's not a reason to be comfortable. That's our human understanding. Oh, say, I've gotten to this point and I'm going to just go ahead and take a break. No, there's more, and there's a lot more. And you need to take it to that next level is what we need to do. So this is a personal urging, we can call it that, of encouragement we find in Christ. Which I will say, from seeing everyone here, the people I know that come on a consistent basis, you do have that encouragement. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't want to wake up and study God's word if you weren't encouraged. So that's an obvious thing to me. I can see that from the day that I got here, that there are people that are encouraged in the word. They're encouraged with their spiritual life and what God can do and will continue to do if you allow him to. So that's personal. That's why it gets down to our level in each of our lives. And because of that, we are inspired and we continue to move in that direction. That's what we do. So, but it goes back to show us that really God is the one leading in all this. God is the one leading. He's taking you and he's pulling you. He's encouraging you so much that it just draws you into him. And that's the beauty of the word of God and his word and God himself. So 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. So this is not only referring to a temporary or temporal comfort, but also an eternal comfort. So we're not only here, but also eternal, because it uses the word all. That's all inclusive here. And this is really the only comfort we have, as I mentioned before. There's a lot of things that can bring us comfort in this life, but think about how temporary they are compared to the Word of God. We look for so many ways to be comfortable or be encouraged or be motivated, but everything that we find or we prioritize that may motivate us in a certain way that day changes, because we lose our motivation from that. And the only thing that we always go back to that never does change is your spiritual growth. The Word of God continues to motivate us. So this comfort, and then verse 4 says, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's a lot of comfort in that verse. I mean, there's four comforts right there. Five if you include verse 2 or verse 3. So did you notice the chain effect on that? We get it from God. It comes to us. It says, He comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. So not only do we receive the comfort, the encouragement, guess what? That comes straight through you. It comes straight through you and it comes to people. And I can't tell you how much encouragement we need in this world. Because every time I'm around someone that isn't growing spiritually like you are here on a consistent level, and you open up a normal conversation, I leave discouraged. Discouraged. There's always something negative to say. We live in the world. We live in a human, the fallen world. So there's plenty of encouragement to leave out there with people. And that's what people really need, is encouragement. Because there's a problem in our world, and we know that it leads to many things, and one of those things is depression. You know, people get depressed easily. If we as Christians, with everything we have in the Word of God, have to deal with depression, can you imagine how someone can deal with it without anything we have? So encourage. This is talking about comfort and encouragement is what we're talking about. Not only does the Word of God give you that, but we should give people that in our lives every time we're around them. Every single time. Never be discouraging. And I want to repeat that. Never be discouraging. Because it's so easy to be discouraging. It really is easy. There's always something to say that's discouraging. Let others be discouraging. You say encouraging and comforting. Because that's what we need right now. So that chain reaction comes right through you. So you're seeing the effects of this comfort, or the encouragement of how, that's just how the spiritual life works. We don't contain what we receive and just keep it and walk out here with it and that's it. No, that's part of your witness. That's part of who you are as a Christian in Christ. That spreads. And people will pick up on these things in you very quickly. And they'll start to ask questions and wonder, why or how are you motivated every single day? So we need to remember that chain reaction should happen through our lives. And you can imagine how this would come into play as a chaplain. I can't tell you how many times you walk into a house and there's not a lick of encouragement in the house. I mean, you got people in bad circumstances. Not only do you have a death in the family, but you have family issues. You got people fighting already because they're trying to take belongings. What belongs to what child? If you got issues going on, they're not even worried about the parent dying. They're worried about money or whatever they're worried about. So there's a discouraging atmosphere. So when you bring just a little bit of encouragement, doesn't have to be talking their head off. But when you bring something to the table from the Word of God, and it doesn't have to be big, that's a lot. That means a lot to a lot of people. And they appreciate the very minor details, and you don't even realize it. It's not even you doing it because you're filled with the Spirit. You walked in there, and you're just there to help. You just want to be there because you know you're supposed to be there. And that's part of God's plan. If He wants you in a place and it's nothing but discouragement, guess what? That may be why you're there. Comfort. Encouragement. So there's a lot of things that go on in there in those situations that you may go into, not just chaplains, sickness, death, you know, strained family relationships, life decisions. All these things require this comfort that we receive and we can offer to other people, which we can only gain, as it said, from the Word of God. That's it. Not from your personality or my personality. I can't do it. I can't muster it up. This is strictly from your spiritual growth. That is it. Because you will run out of fumes. You will run out of gas if you're running on self. You know, we can only crack so many jokes, talk so much, act one way consistently so much. There's only so much you can do before it'll run out. You have to rely on the Word of God if you want to be a consistent. That's the key word, consistent encouragement. Because are you going to want to change your mind? Of course you are. When you base it on yourself, you may be discouraging. Because really there's a lot of discouragement in us if it wasn't for the Word of God. So that's what we need to remember, that we don't get discouragement or encouragement from this world are from ourselves, but only from the Word of God. Because what is it? It's only encouragement. Only, that's all it is. So we are encouraged, and we should always have that desire to comfort others in that way as well. So what does that come with? It comes with growing and maturing as a believer. And that has to do with nothing but your relationship with Christ. Your relationship with Christ. The more closer, the more you grow with Him and love Him, guess what you become more of? Less pessimistic and more optimistic. You can definitely tell where someone is in their spiritual life by seeing how optimistic they are. You know that? You ever talk with someone and all they do is discourage, 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 run down somebody. You just feel like you just got beat up. You're out of fellowship. You just came to have a simple conversation. And now all of a sudden you just got beat up and you're out of there and discouraged. See what I mean? There's a difference between getting in a conversation and being completely discouraged versus you walking in and maybe taking something away from that where someone might think differently than the world thinks. And that's what we're here for. We're not here to think like the world. We are the world, but we have something else inside of us that's much greater than the world. It's God Himself. That's it. So, and that really has to do with the divine perspective that you're providing. You're walking into a conversation, into a room of people at work, whether in your family, and you're bringing a different perspective. It's all about perspective. It's what are you bringing to the table? And when you bring divine perspective, guess what you leave? A divine mark. on people. Because that wasn't anything you could provide. It was from the Holy Spirit working through you. I can't tell you how many times I'd get into a situation that I did not want to go in there. I didn't want to go in there. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to act. Nothing. Never been in that situation. So what do? You get in fellowship, you pray, and you go in there. And every single time, God would work out the details. I have no idea how, but He does. And I was included in that because I was there. He works it out every single time. You just have to allow Him to do it. I could have stayed worried. I could have stayed in that spot. I can't handle this. I don't know what to do. That's just me. That's me. That's not God. That's me. There's a big difference. So, the divine perspective, and like I mentioned earlier, there's so many people that do not have that. They don't have that perspective. And when you don't have that perspective, it's easy to get discouraged and stay that way. It's easy to get discouraged. You know, as even a Christian growing, it can be discouraging sometimes. It can be discouraging. So, what does that mean for us? It means that, number one, this world has nothing to offer outside of God's plan for your life. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. There's discouragement. That's the first thing. The next thing is that God always has a plan for you. Always. And how does that apply to this? Think about those people that are discouraged, depressed. There's a reason they're going through that. If you come in there with a divine perspective to give them advice, things don't happen for no reason at all. They have to go through that because God has a plan for them. He's working the circumstances to His benefit, and if He can do it through depression, He will. He will do it. So He always has a plan, and His plan never stops. Never stops. It keeps right on going. People get in those low spots in their lives. They think, oh, God has forgotten me. No, it is alive and active. Very active. Don't get comfortable. That's the last thing you want to do is get comfortable because God is always active. That's why we have to stay so active in our spiritual life. Continue to grow. It's so easy to slack off. I will be the first one to tell you that. I cannot slack off, and neither can you. Because our day consists of a mini plan of God. However long, 18 hours, you stay up, that's how long the plan of God is in that day. And it's going to start over the next day and keep going. And there's a series of events that happen during that day that you have to make decisions about. The plan never stops. So, now that we know His plan never stops, which we do know that, you know, but sometimes we kind of tend to lose focus. We lose the helicopter view when we're in the weeds sometimes. So, but once we are in track online, you know, we realize that this is the way, this is the plan, and it's nonstop. But encouragement, a few of the things that it does not include, I want to give you just a few of these things because these are so abundant in this life. It doesn't include ignoring people. It doesn't include ignoring people. It doesn't. That's not encouraging. It doesn't include a snotty attitude. It doesn't include being a gossip. being bitter, being pessimistic, always seeing the negative side of things. Those are little things that you start to lose the more you grow spiritually, because you become optimistic in who and what God is and what He's doing in your life. So those things right there are so abundant in this world, it's not even funny. So, I mean, that's what we receive from the Word of God. Can you imagine if we receive these things, discouraging things? But we don't. We don't. Truth is never a downer. I can definitely say that. It might be an eye-opener, but it's never a downer. Notice that? Any scripture you go through, no matter how gory, no matter how gross, no matter how pain, doesn't matter what we're talking about, it's never a downer. We always leave with a better understanding of what's happening in our own lives. And that's how we should leave from a relationship or contact with someone. Every time. Never a downer. So, really nothing in this world matters more than what you're doing right now. This is it, as far as I'm concerned. Wherever you get it, whether here or somebody else, as long as you're growing spiritually, this is the most important thing in your life, hands down. And I say that because not all of you realize that. And we don't. As we grow spiritually, it's important. I know it's important. But how important is it to you? That's a question we all need to ask ourselves daily. Because it becomes more important as you grow. More important. The next statement, if any consolation of love. So consolation here is a type of comfort or encouragement. It's a little bit different word here. But here we have it paired up with love. Consolation of love. The word here literally means to speak to someone that is close by. It means to care, to alleviate, to console. And then you add love to the equation. That's the word we're talking about. That's the phrase we're talking about. So the comforting aspect of love always starts with Christ. And then from there, we can then comfort or care. And we're seeing more of this passing it down effect from God to you and then to others. And this isn't referring to the physical aspect of love. This isn't a lust or anything physical here that we're referring to. This is a thought process. Everything, every one of these words, there's nothing physical here. Nothing. This is a thought process. This encouragement that you have, this consolation of love, fellowship, affection, and compassion, these are all thoughts. It's how you operate. Not something you necessarily do. It may manifest itself that way. It may come out in something you do with people. But it starts up here first. So, this word is as if a loved one was sitting down next to you and talking to you. To alleviate or to lessen the grief, sorrow, or disappointment. To give solace or comfort. So you get the idea here. And I think it's safe to say that we do find this kind of comfort in the love of God. We do find that. It does console us in this way. It alleviates or lessens the grief or the sorrow that we're going through. That's why we can be hopeful in death. That's why we cannot mourn like other people mourn, because we have this, it has this consoling effect in love. So, Now, this reminds me, of course, this is the love, of course, from God. This is agape love. And this is a very important love because this is the love that we actually receive from God and we can love the entire human race with. I know we've talked about that on an impersonal love or an unconditional love, as I like to call it. This is not a love from ourselves. It's specifically from God. And in that way, love is really an amazing thing. It really is an amazing thing. Not a personal love, the love of God, because the love of God is such a problem solver. I cannot begin to tell you. Do you know how many problems in your life can be solved by loving someone? But instead, what do we usually do? We usually compound the problem by reacting to something negative from that relationship. Love does not take into account others. What happens with God's love is it's received and it's given. And as with anything else in the Word of God, it's always based on grace. That's how God operates. Remember, He gave us love before we even deserved it, before we earned it. And what do? Because you're always going to have friends that are moody, bitter. You don't want to irritate them because they might not talk to you for 6 months. That's people. Get with it, right? That's just people. That's 95% of the people we know. So if you don't have this kind of love, guess what you're going to do? React and ignore. You're going to be discouraging. You're not going to add to that relationship from an unconditional love. I don't care that they're irritated because I love them, because it's not based on them. It's based on what's in your soul. There's a big difference there. And that type of love will stay friends longer than you can imagine. And if it was based on them, you would have been long done with them, like we have done with many people in our lives. That's not how God's love operates. That's how most of the world operates. Not God and His love towards us. And that's what we have available. That's what we can love people with. There's no reason we can't. They're up one day, down the next. Anything will trigger them. You know the routine. So love takes all these things into account and is able to sustain the relationship because it's based on God. In other words, it doesn't take them into account. So it doesn't matter who offends you, who does something, whatever they do to you that hurts you, upsets you, ignore you, don't say hi to you, whatever. Guess what? Impersonal love. Unconditional. What does that mean? There's no conditions to your love. Unconditional. So there's a lot of things that we could readdress because there's people that have been affected by our actions. We could always say, oh no, they started it. See, that's not how it works. That's not how this type of love works. Remember, it doesn't keep account. There's no marking. There's no keeping count. It's a love, it's a grace. It's full of grace. Always in grace. So this kind of love will sustain relationships, and thank God for that. Because it's not really us that are holding these relationships together. You notice that? Because when it is, usually the relationship doesn't work. It doesn't last. Because both parties are, they're basing the relationship on their own power. And we can't do it. We get offended. We get upset. See ya. I'm done. I don't love you anymore. I don't like you anymore. Shouldn't be that way. So God's love is gracious love that doesn't depend on us to be lovable or even obedient. But it does depend on His character. It does depend on His character. And guess what? That never changes. He doesn't change. Remember, we reject. We have rejected. Unbelievers are currently rejecting. Has He stopped loving them? No, not at all. And you know what? There's really a lot of comfort in that one aspect of your spiritual life. Love. There's a lot of comfort in that, that you can give to people that aren't even expecting it. People are expecting to be rejected. People are expecting not to be friends with lasting relationships nowadays. People aren't expecting for you to keep bringing them back in and be forgiving and understanding and not even basing it on what they do. They don't understand that. And that's grace. The world doesn't understand it, but it doesn't matter. We still have that to offer people. And that's what's exciting. That's what we can give them as an encouragement. Because you know what? People are drawn to that. People are drawn to that. And they are acting different because of what's inside you. Romans 5:6 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So, I mean, we're talking about moody people. Not ungodly and dying for them. You see the difference? I mean, this is like black and night here. Black and day, or day and night. It's just two different things. God's love took none of those things into account when it came to bringing us back into that relationship. And that's what we should have a desire to do. Because remember, we're not maintaining, sustaining relationships because of a personal thing or because we want something back. We're sustaining the relationship because we're glorifying God. That's why we're on this earth. If you're using the love of God in sustaining that relationship, it's not you as a person that's magnified. It's what's inside you. God is being glorified through you. So there's comfort in that. And grace, that's another aspect about grace. It's always waiting. It's always waiting. Rejection or mistreatment of others to you is not a big enough reason to react in some way outside of God's love. It's not a good enough reason. When you're out of fellowship and you're not growing spiritually, you're going to take it personal. Every single time, you're going to get offended because our pride comes up, our arrogance. Oh, no, you didn't. Right? That is not the love of God. We shouldn't even get offended. People are going to be people no matter what. Everybody has a sin nature. You might be that rat one day. We're going to get that daily from people. We just have to learn how to have this kind of love so we can just coast right through it. It's a lot easier to live that way than it is taking offense to every single thing that comes your way. The scripture tells us out of faith, hope and love, what does it say? Love is the greatest. Love is the greatest. That's 1 Corinthians 13:13. And we have not one, but all three of these. Because look what it started with, the love of God. Of course, then comes the faith and the hope, which then blossoms back into our love for Him. It's circular every time. It just blows me away. So love is the basis for everything we know in our Christian identity. And that's found in Christ's love for the world in accomplishing our salvation. And that's really what we go back to. And that's why we're here. And that's why we know that He does love us in that aspect. So, not only that, but what else about His love for us? We cannot be separated from it. We cannot be separated from it. That's eternal security. Think about that love in comparison to how we operate on this earth. If we have an eternal security from His love, how should we treat people in relationships? Should we ever cut people off? No. Unless your life is threatened. I mean, you have common sense, but we should never sever that relationship. We should always be the one that offers security in a relationship, no matter who they are, no matter where they came from, no matter what they look like. We don't take that into account because the Word of God doesn't take it into account. That's Romans 8:38 and 39. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So love found us and love keeps us. And that's why we really find encouragement in His love. Right there. So if any fellowship of the Spirit is the third statement here. A few more minutes. I see the eyelids are getting a little bit heavy. That's all right. We better not do that. So, notice that this is kind of an overview of what we've all been through in Philippians. A little bit, doesn't it remind you of that? And if you remember, fellowship means what? Participation. Participation. That's what fellowship means. And when I hear the word participation, the first thing I think about anyways is a participation grade. Teachers like to give participation grades. And that requires you to participate. That's what fellowship is. And why it says participation or fellowship in the Spirit, what are we talking about? We're talking about the way you live this life. Are you participating in the Spirit, in the filling of the Holy Spirit through confession of your sins? Remember, the criteria for a good grade in a participation grade is what? How much you've participated. You have to be involved. You have to be engaged. So there's participation here with the Holy Spirit. And this is a very small detail that has huge implications on your life. Huge. This is overlooked in church after church after church, and they can't figure out why they're not growing spiritually, why they don't have this kind of love that we just talked about, never works, can't get it to work, why they never have the fruits of the Spirit, can't figure it out, why they keep bumping their head in life, never getting in forward, advance, going forward, right here. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit through confession of sin. Simple little detail, but it's not very well taught. Huge implications. RTF, restoration of fellowship. And I don't know if you remember, but we had a study on fellowship. And that fellowship actually includes the Trinity. But what knocks us out of that fellowship is what? One sin. That's why confession is so important. That's why it's so important. And I have a slide. I think it's clear. That's you in the middle. And you see the direction that we can choose every time. We can choose either to commit or to confess. There is no in between except the state you are in after that decision. Either we are walking in the light or we are walking in darkness. That's it. There is no in between. And there's some scripture if you need it. And I'm going to add on to this because I want to find more scripture and more scripture. I'm going to build on this diagram here because there's plenty more. One side out, one side in. So this is how you get off track very quickly. So I think that's a good place to stop. And we'll pick back up on Sunday. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for doing everything that you can to us, through us. If we're only willing and waiting and desiring your word, we just pray that we can continue down this path, and we pray for a continued spiritual growth and a perseverance that only you can give us. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, because your word tells us we've been saved by grace through faith, and that's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God so that no one can boast. It's not about works. It's not about what I can do for salvation. It's about what Jesus Christ has already done on the cross. And that's why you provided it as a gift. You provided it because you loved us, and you offered it to us to be accepted by faith. You said, here, take it. I love you so much, I want to bring back that relationship even though you sinned. So I'm going to send my Son to die on your behalf. And now what do we have to do? Accept it. That's it. Believe it. That's what the Word says. And we thank you for that opportunity. And we just ask that we can continue this week in a way that glorifies you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.